or a desire for us to share. Last week we talked about love. Somebody say love. Somebody say love. And we know that all the laws are filled in one word. What is that one word? Somebody say love. So we don't practice the law. We practice walking in love. Amen. So the scripture declares that love does what? No harm to his neighbor. And love covers a multitude of faults. And if we're walking in love, we're not always looking at and criticizing people. Amen. We're being compassionate and caring and all of those things. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So we bless God for last week's message. Somebody say amen. Now this morning, I told you, if the Lord was willing, that we're going to talk from our series, The Kingdom of God / Kingdom of Heaven. Amen. Kingdom of God / Kingdom of Heaven. And we want to major on today, this particular thought, if you will. We want to talk about why. Somebody say why. Why is so important for the believer in Christ, the child of God, to understand God's teaching or Jesus' teachings concerning the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven, amen. So we want to labor on that particular thought today. Why it is so important, say so important, that we understand as believers, as children of God, Jesus' teachings or God's teachings concerning the kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven, amen. We already understand kingdom of God, kingdom of God, and kingdom of heaven are used interchangeably in the scriptures. Somebody say amen. When we talk about the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, we're talking about one God's sovereign rule. Say sovereign rule in the believer. Somebody say in the believer. So, Pastor, you saying it's possible for us to do everything that God desires to do? I'm saying it's possible. And when we submit to his sovereign rule on the inside of us, somebody say amen. You understand that the kingdom of God is where? Within us. Somebody say amen. When we submit to that sovereign rule on the inside of us, guess what happens? He can do whatever he desires to do in us. Somebody say whatever he desires to do in us. Somebody say amen. We also understand that the kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven is God's sovereign rule over. Somebody say over. Over sickness, over disease, over demons, over the elements, over everything that God desires to display his dominance over in the earth realm. Amen. But it takes a lot of times us giving in to him in order for him to express himself or express himself in certain ways. Somebody say amen. We also have taught you that the kingdom of God is the system of God. Say system of God. Or the way that God does things. Or the way that he desires to do things. Well, no, we won't say desire. The way that he does things is us to catch up with his system, glory to God, and allow his system to be displayed in us. Somebody say amen. So we want to talk about the importance of us understanding. Somebody say understanding. The kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven. Somebody say amen. Number one, it's important for us to understand the teachings of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, because we are part of the kingdom. Somebody say part of the kingdom. And anything that you are a part of, you should want to understand. Somebody say amen. Just talking to the pastors back in my office a few minutes ago, they were talking about me getting involved a little bit more in the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship. And I was telling them one of my major reasons for withholding right now is that I really don't understand a lot about the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship. So I need to get some understanding. Somebody say understanding. If you're part of anything, you need to understand how that thing operates. Amen. Because you want to walk in correct protocol. You want to follow in the steps that you should follow in. Somebody say amen. You want to do what's expected to you by any organization that you're a part of, especially the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. So we ought to understand the kingdom of God because we are a part of it. Somebody say a part of it. So number one, we need to always try to understand how God operates because we're a part of his operation, if you will. We're part of the kingdom, amen. Let's start out with Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33 this morning. Y'all all right? Matthew chapter 6, verse number 33. New Living. We have New Living Translation. Can I have a New King James Translation? It says, but. Somebody say but. What is the but there for? The but is there because instead of doing one thing, we need to do another. Instead of doing one thing, we need to do another. Somebody say amen. Back up to verse number 32. And this is Jesus teaching. He says, for after all of these things the Gentiles seek. They seek after the things. They seek after the food. They seek after the clothing. They seek after the shelter, etc., etc. But God says, well, Jesus says to us, for your heavenly Father knows that you have what? Said need of all these things. He didn't say we couldn't have them. He said that our heavenly Father knows that we have need of these things. Somebody say amen. So verse 34 says, but. Somebody say but. Or instead of. Say instead of. Instead of making things our first priority. Instead of making things our first priority. Okay. Instead of making things our major priority. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen again. We need to make learning about the system of God that we are a part of our major learning, the major thing that we need to learn. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So he says, but seek what? Somebody say first. Somebody say first. Which means priority. Somebody say priority. The word seek from the Greek perspective means to seek. Somebody say to seek. Or it means to inquire for or to inquire because. Somebody say amen. So because we are a part of the kingdom of God, we need to try to learn something about it. Somebody say amen. Now, we know a lot about this kingdom of the world because we've been raised up in it. Somebody say amen. We know how to be worldly. You know, we know how to drive a Lexus, how to bag it up, all that kind of stuff. We know how to be worldly. Somebody say amen. Somebody took a sip. Somebody say amen. We know how to do all those things. Somebody say amen. And I'm not saying that there's necessarily anything wrong with dancing because, you know, I like to dance too. Somebody say amen. Well, our dance ought to have a little holy twitch to it. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. Instead of dropping it, we ought to just step back. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So the world ways are contrary to God's ways. Am I talking to the right house? It's a different kind of system. Somebody say a different kind of system. The world system says hate. Not hate, but hate. Somebody say hate. The world system says pay back when somebody does something wrong to you. Somebody say amen. The world system says keep instead of giving. Somebody say amen. The world system say I'll hold on to that offense instead of forgiving. Somebody say amen. So the world system is contrary to God's system. And if we're going to operate the way that God desires us to operate in the earth realm, somebody say amen, we got to learn his system. So he says, once you become a part of his kingdom, my first priority is to learn how his kingdom operates. Somebody say amen. Learn how his kingdom operates. And I need to tell you, it's a process. Somebody say process. It's a process because we're learning something new. For some of us, we're learning something new. Now, for some of us, we've been around Christian folks. And being around Christian folks don't necessarily mean Christian folks did everything right. Somebody say amen. So we need to make first priority learning ourselves what the kingdom looks like. The system. Somebody say the system. So he says, but seek what? First, say priority one. The kingdom of God. Somebody say the kingdom of God. His system, his rule, his how he rules in us, his lordship on the inside of us, et cetera, et cetera. He says, and his what? Righteousness. Whose righteousness? Somebody say God's righteousness. Now, some of us would define that as right standing, but I believe righteousness has to do everything with the way that we should live. Here, everything to do with how we should live, how we should behave, how we should think, etc. And he clarifies what kind of righteousness it is by saying his righteousness. Somebody say his righteousness. His right standards. His right way of doing things. Somebody say his righteousness. which means his righteousness stands apart from rightness in other arenas, if you will. He has a way of doing right that nobody else have, other than the church we're supposed to adopt and carry it out. Somebody say amen. So he says his righteousness, he says that if we put learning his system first and doing things his way, his righteousness, he will add the things that we need in our lives. Somebody say amen. I think I told you this a few weeks ago that God told me, he took me back to the model prayer. See, model prayer. Now, I've been walking with him for a long time, and I thought I knew how to pray. I thought I knew what to ask for, what not to ask for, et cetera, et cetera. But he took me back to the model prayer, and he said, I want you to pray this prayer every day. I said, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He says, because I already know what you need. So you really don't have to ask me because I already know what you need. As a matter of fact, he knows what I need better than I know. I'm probably asking for something that I really don't need because I really don't know spiritually all that I need. So he wants me to just stay in line with him by way of the model prayer, and he's going to take care of the needs. Somebody say amen. And he takes care of my needs. Somebody say amen. Even my spiritual needs. Even what I need to understand concerning the kingdom, even what I need to understand about him, he takes care of those things in my life without me even asking sometimes. Somebody say amen. So I follow his lead. I do what his system requires. And he does the rest. Somebody say amen. So the scripture says that we need to put first, say first, learning his system. Here's a new system. Okay, what does that look like, Pastor? You got to spend some time with the Lord. You got to spend some time in the Word. You got to spend some time in prayer. You got to open your eyes and look at the pages of the Scripture. And we don't, or we shouldn't go after the Scripture with a know-it-all attitude. We should be prayerful. Say prayerful. Somebody say prayerful. I ask the Lord daily to open the eyes of my understanding so I can behold the wonderful things in his word. And I know a little bit of word. I've got to the point now I read every passage expecting him to say something to me. And that wasn't the way that it used to be. I used to read every passage trying to learn the passage and learn the story. Now I'm listening for him to speak to me through every passage that I read because, one, I know I'm in relationship with him. Somebody say amen. And you ought to want to grow from, I don't know how you do this, but you ought to want to grow from relationship to fellowship. Not just be in relationship, but be in fellowship. Because when you're in fellowship with the Lord, you talk to him, he talks back. You share your ideas, he share his ideas. He'll correct you when yours are wrong, somebody say amen. He'll tweak yours when yours need to be tweaked, somebody say amen. But it only happens when we're in fellowship, in communion with him, somebody say amen. So how does that system learning look? It looks like spending time with him, asking him questions. When I was coming up in church as a young boy, you don't question the Lord. You don't question the Lord. Yeah, you can ask the Lord whatever you want to ask him. You can ask the Lord whatever you want to ask him. But I warn you to be prepared for what he might say. I ask him questions all the time. I was telling a group of folks I was eating lunch with yesterday, I had got a little mad with the Lord about something. I was, he wasn't letting me get away with nothing. Every time you turn around, he was correcting me faster. He wasn't letting me get away with nothing. So I one morning I decided I was going to complain. Lord, you let such and such a person, I call the name, get away with everything. You just let him do what he wanted to do, but you won't let me get away with nothing. I decided I was going to complain. Somebody say amen. He let me get it all out. And then when I got up off my knees, he spoke to me like he always speaks to me and said, Romans chapter 9. I began to read Romans chapter 9. When I got to that verse, said, I have mercy on whom I will. I said, okay, Lord, I got it. I'll close my mouth. Somebody said, close his mouth. I'll close my mouth and I'll stop complaining about other people and just focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. Somebody say amen. But you can only hear God in relationship and in fellowship. You can only receive what he's saying if you're in a place of humility and meekness. Somebody say amen. I could have went back with him again, Well, I want to hear what he was going to say the next time. Somebody say amen. So number one, somebody say number one. We need to understand the teachings concerning the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, because we're a part of the kingdom. Somebody say part of the kingdom. We're not part of a religion. We're part of the kingdom of God. We're citizens of the kingdom. We're children of God. We're joint heirs with Christ. You know, religions say you do something religiously. Somebody say amen. I want to follow God religiously. I'll just leave that alone. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So number one, somebody say number one. We need to understand the teachings concerning the kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven because we're a part of it. Somebody say amen. Number two. We need to understand the teachings concerning the kingdom of God / kingdom of heaven because Jesus both preached the kingdom and he taught the kingdom. Anything Jesus preached and taught, we all want to understand. Somebody say amen. He preached the kingdom and he taught the kingdom. Somebody say amen. Now, preach has to do with proclaiming. Somebody say proclaiming. And I'll give you some demonstrations of proclaiming. To preach has to do with proclaiming, and in preaching, we are inspired. See, somebody say inspired. We're inspired to do. Somebody say amen. But when we get to teaching, that carries a little bit more instruction, if you will. Amen. Or instructional learning, if you will. Somebody say amen. In teaching, we explain. In teaching, we give clarity. In teaching, we make sure that every student is understanding where we are going for the sake of carrying on what God desires us to carry on. Somebody say amen. So teaching is instructional. Somebody say instructional. Teaching learns us how to do something. Teaching teaches us skill to do. Somebody say amen. Teaching teaches us how to carry out a thing. Somebody say amen. We've gone through an era in the church where we've been inspired, but we didn't always know how to do what we're inspired to do. So now we try to instruct you, train you, teach you as it relates to how to do. Somebody say how to do. I think I used this one time. I can proclaim trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thy own understanding. You hear it. Most of us understand it because we've heard it for so long. I can proclaim it and leave it right there. But if I want to give us clarity concerning what that really means, I'm going to teach you what trust means. I'm going to teach you what the heart is. I'm going to teach you how not to lean to. Somebody say amen. I'm going to give you some further learning concerning that passage, if you will. Somebody say amen. So to teach is to instruct. To preach is to inspire or proclaim. Somebody say amen. So we want to understand the kingdom because Jesus both preached it and he taught it. Somebody say amen. Let's get some proof text on that statement. Go to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. And I believe this is the first message that Jesus taught after he went through some things. Somebody said went through some things. We saw Jesus born. Somebody say born. We saw him in the temple at 12. Say 12. And then we didn't see him no more until he turned 30. Where was he hiding out? What was he doing? I'm one of the ones that believe that he was going through some training. I believe that he was being trained mentally, physically, and spiritually for his mission. Did it take 30 years or did it take 17, 18 years for Jesus to be trained? Some would say no because he was Jesus. I say yes because he was in a human body. And because the Bible says he learned discipline through suffering. So because he was in a human body, he had laid down, somebody take issue with me on this one, but I'll prove it. I'll prove it in just a few minutes. He laid down his divinity and took on a physical body. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. So when he took on a body like ours, he had to go through some training like we have to go through in order for him to do ministry. Somebody say amen. After he had gone through his training, et cetera, here's the first thing that he began to preach. The Bible says he began to preach concerning the kingdom. Say the kingdom. The Bible says from that time, somebody say that time, what time was that? This was after his baptism. This was after his tempting in the wilderness by Satan. This was after he had fulfilled some more prophecy that Isaiah had spoken concerning him years ago. After those things came to pass, Jesus began to preach the message of the kingdom. Somebody say amen. I want to stop right here and play a game. I want to play a game. I want to play a game. I want to play a game mentioning his baptism, mentioning his wilderness experience, mentioning him feeling or fulfilling some prophecy. I want to play a game this morning. Can I play a game with y'all? I want to call this game, Did You Know? Somebody said, Did You Know? Somebody said, Did You Know? Did you all know that Jesus was filled with the Holy Ghost? Did y'all know that? Luke chapter 4, verse number 1. I skipped over it for a long time because of how King James said it. He said he was full of the Holy Spirit. But Luke, right, he was filled, New King James translation, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It says, then Jesus what? Being filled with whom? Somebody say filled with the Holy Spirit. So he was filled. The word filled there is defined from the Greek perspective at from the Greek perspective as replete. Say replete. Which simply means that the Holy Spirit was spread all over. Which simply means that the Holy Spirit permeated him. Which simply means that he was complete with the Holy Spirit. Pastor, why are you telling us he was being filled? I'm telling you that he was being filled because in order for him to be able to do effective ministry in the earth realm, he had to be filled with the Holy Ghost. He had to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do you see a parallel? Do you remember after the disciples had gone through all their training? You remember Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit? They had to go over to Jerusalem and wait until Jesus got back to heaven and send the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, that they were filled. Somebody say filled. Filled. Somebody say filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit. Somebody say amen. Now we're filled, but we're being filled too. We've been filled. Let me just make this statement. If it was important for Jesus to be filled with the Holy Spirit, how much more is it important that we be filled with the Holy Spirit? I'm not talking about just his presence. I'm talking about him being in control. I'm talking about him being able to do whatever God desires for him to do in us whenever he desires to do it, whenever he desires to do what he desires to do. So if he had to be filled, we had to be filled too. And if you know anything about Jesus, you know his ministry was effective. See, in the church, and I don't want to beat up on the church, there's enough of that going on. Every time you turn around, somebody beating up on the church, from the church. And I don't want to be a part of that crowd. So somebody say amen. It's for a long time, we put a lot of emphasis on just the verbal witness. But we need to put some emphasis on the demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost through the believer in Christ. Somebody say amen. And Jesus made it very plain. Jesus says that go to Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. We minimize some of the things that he said when he really meant something more powerful. Jesus intended from the beginning for his church to be a supernatural church. Not just a natural, but a supernatural church too. That's why he filled us with the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen. Jesus says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be what? Somebody say witnesses. Somebody say witnesses. Have you ever been to court before? There are verbal witnesses. Somebody say amen. But then there is physical evidence. Say evidence. I'd like to present this as Exhibit A. is Exhibit A. I would like to present this glove as part of this murder situation. Somebody say amen. It's Exhibit A. Somebody say Exhibit A. That was a verbal evidence, not a verbal evidence, but it was a physical evidence of something that had transpired. Somebody say amen. If Jesus wanted to say that he just wanted us to talk about him, he would have said that amen. But he said he wanted to empower us so that we can give evidence of who he is in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. That encompasses healing, deliverance, all those kind of things that Jesus did in his ministry. Amen. That's why he wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, I have been in church all my life, and I ain't know nothing about being filled. As a matter of fact, you start talking about the Holy Ghost, some of us start getting scared. Ain't nothing about being filled. But after I started preaching, I started reading the Word. I've always been drawn to teaching. So I started listening to some of the faith teachers. Alan Hickey, what's the guy that did with Apostle Frederick A.C. Price, et cetera, et cetera. Those people. Somebody say amen. And one day I was listening to Apostle Frederick K.C. Price, and he kept talking about we need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Filled with the Holy Ghost? I thought I got the Holy Ghost when I believed. He kept talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost. So my faith latched on to his teaching. And I put into practice what he was saying. I began to pray to be filled. Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I didn't even say, Lord, if this is true, fill me. I just said, Lord, fill me with the Holy Ghost. I prayed, and I prayed for a little while, and one day the Holy Spirit filled me. And it was almost like how Jesus went through that feeling, and I'll show you in a minute. The Holy Spirit came in, and it was hot. He was warm, and he filled me from here all the way to there. And I've never questioned the filling of the Holy Spirit anymore. But it only happened, one, when I had faith to believe that I could receive the feeling, and two, after I begin to pray. Somebody say amen. Let me just throw this out at you. If you ever want to do effective ministry in the earth realm, beyond just the verbal, you got to be filled. You got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can't be afraid to ask the Lord to fill you. And you can't be afraid when he comes in and fill you. As a matter of fact, he won't even let you be afraid. He'll come. He'll give you peace. Because the way he came in on me, I said on me, most folks would have got scared. But there was a calmness. And then I was calm for about a week or so, like I had never been calm before in my life. He filled me. Here's the point again. If Jesus had to be filled, how much more do the church need to be filled? I told y'all some time ago, God said the church is limping. Stay limping. Because we don't accept all that he has available to us to do what he desires us to do in the earth ring. Can I throw something else out parenthetically? And I don't know how much further I'm going to get because my time is winding down. Jesus makes this statement in his teachings while he was in his ministry in the earth ring. Jesus says something to this effect. According to your faith. According to your faith. According to your faith. What does that mean? According to your faith, or in agreement with your faith. For yours. Your mind. Yours. No, according to your faith. Somebody say your faith. We open the altar for healing and deliverance. And oftentimes, I'm thinking, what are we believing when we come to the altar? Are we believing that pastor's going to pray for us and Jesus is going to send healing from heaven? Or are we believing that the Holy Ghost that lives in pastor empowers him to bring healing in our lives? What are you believing when you come to the altar? It's according to your faith. That's why I don't spend a whole lot of time praying. I say things like be healed or receive your healing, because in my mind I'm believing if you're coming to the altar for me to lay hands on you, you believe that the Holy Ghost is going to rise up in me and you're going to receive your deliverance. But I need to throw this out parenthetically, too. If you're believing when you come to the altar that I'm going to pray and Jesus is going to send healing from heaven, you need to understand the fact that there are sometimes hindrances from heaven to earth. Read Daniel chapter 10 when you go home. Anytime Jesus has to dispatch an angel from heaven, or God has to dispatch an angel from heaven to do anything in the earth realm, there's chances that he can get held up before he gets here. He has to come from the third heaven, through the second heaven, through the first heaven, to get to us. Somebody say amen. Do you all know who's in the second heaven? The devil and all his demons. Somebody say amen. And they don't like for us to receive blessings from God. Somebody say amen. So every now and then, they'll try to hold up the angels from getting to the earth realm. They'll get in a fight. You want to talk about spiritual warfare? They'll get in a fight with God's angels. Somebody say amen. And if you read Daniel chapter 10, you'll see that at some point, God was sending an answer through an angel to Daniel. The angel got hemmed up by the demonic angels. God had to dispatch a stronger angel to help his angels. It blows your mind that a demonic angel can hold up one of God's angels. But God has stronger angels. He sent Michael, and Michael took over. They tag team. Michael took over the fight. Michael took over the fight while the angel went on to the earth to do what he was sent to do. Somebody say amen. Now, I don't know whether he went back to help Michael or what, but I do know that he had to have some help to get here. Somebody say amen. So oftentimes when you are believing God, and this don't always happen, but it could happen. When you're believing God to dispatch an angel from heaven to heal you, that's chances. And he can get hung up. Or she can get hung up. No, he. Somebody say he. He can get hung up. Somebody say amen. Which means it might delay your healing. But if you can trust, I want us to begin to use our minds in church. Why do you think God gave all these giftings to the church? He gave all these giftings to the church so he wouldn't have to do everything. He gave all these giftings to the church so that the church could be present and do something. You remember when we read about the gifts? Do you remember when we read about the gifts? The gift of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that they were given for the church to profit withal. I remember one situation when Jesus had gone up on the Mount of Transfiguration. He was on his way down. Somebody came to his disciples and wanted to be healed. They couldn't heal them. Jesus got a little perturbed with the crowd. I ain't going to be around here all for the rest of your life. Not going to be down here. Somebody say amen. You got to learn how to do what you've been empowered to do. The church would be in better shape if we learn how to walk out our gifting. Because God has gifted us to do these things. So the whole point is this. If you're praying and waiting on God to send something from heaven, his angel could get hung up. And then you start talking out of faith when his angel get hung up. Instead of you saying by his stripes, I am healed, you start, I know he will heal me. I know he is going to heal me. No, if he says that you are healed, you are healed. Somebody say amen. We need to say what he says. Until such time as the angel get hung up. Amen. Somebody say amen. The major point was, just as Jesus needs the Holy Ghost, we need the Holy Ghost. We need him to do effective ministry. Somebody say amen. When did Jesus receive the Holy Spirit? Matthew chapter 3, verse number 16 and 17. I'm not going to finish this today. I already know it. Somebody say amen. When did he receive the Holy Spirit? You just need proof that he did. Somebody say amen. When he had what? Been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were open. Say the heavens were open to him, and he saw what? Descending like what? And a lightning upon him. Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit at his baptism. The Holy Spirit rested upon him, permeated him, And he was ready to do some phenomenal ministry. The Holy Spirit fills us as we ask him to fill us. Somebody say amen. After his baptism, he went through the wilderness experience. The Holy Spirit led him to be tempted of the devil. Somebody say amen. Now, that's the thing we need to understand about this temptation, too. Number one, I've heard this teaching, and I'm just going to be downright honest with you. I don't believe it totally. We've been taught when the devil tempts us, all we got to do is quote the word, and he'll stop. I can disprove that by just going through the whole temptation of Jesus Christ. Jesus spoke the word, and Satan stayed around. One time he spoke the word, and Satan spoke the word back. So which means, if we speak the word, it doesn't necessarily mean that Satan's going to leave. As a matter of fact, you might speak word to him, and he might speak word back to you, amen. Because he's been around long enough to know a lot of words. Somebody say amen. So I believe this is what Jesus meant when he said it is written. He meant this. I'm going to humble myself to my Father, and I'm going to resist you. I'm going to stand on what my Father said concerning me, and I'm going to resist you. It is written. No, I'm not going to do this. I'm going to do what God says. Amen. And it's summed up in James chapter 4, verse number 7 for us. Go to James chapter 4, verse number 7. I know I got you moving today. And I'll quote it. It says, humble yourself. It says, therefore what? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? First thing we got to do is learn how to obey God. And then the second part of that is we got to resist the devil. And then he's going to leave. And you got to do it consistently because he'll try to stay around to keep tripping you up. Somebody say amen. We have to obey God and then resist the devil. Amen. Now here's the other side of that. If we entertain the devil, he going to think you like him. And he going to hang around for a while. And he going to keep on pushing your button. Somebody say amen. So we got to learn first to obey God. Somebody say obey God. And then resist the devil. You obey God and then stand against what the devil is trying to do to you. Or stand against this. Okay. So I'm against this teaching. If I quote the word, he's going to flee. No. James give us further clarity. We obey God. We resist the devil, and then he's going to flee. Does that make sense to you? That's some other things that we can learn from the temptation of Jesus. Number two, that sounds paradoxical, doesn't it? Number two, we need to learn when Satan tempts us. Satan tempts us when we're vulnerable. He tempts us in our places of weakness. If you read the account of the wilderness experience in the book of Luke helps us to understand. Well, Matthew said, basically says that that Jesus was tempted all during the 40 days in the wilderness. Luke basically says that after Jesus had fasted 40 days, he was hungry, and then Satan tempted, which means he was vulnerable. He wanted something to eat, amen. We need to understand that whatever our weakness is, Satan knows it. And number two, that's the area he's going to fight. So it's incumbent upon us to know our weakness. Y'all looking at me with that tone of voice. If he know you're going to always cuss somebody out, that's what he's going to always try to get you to do. If he knows that you're immoral in some places, or that your actions are immoral in some places, that's where he's going to punch you. He's going to punch you in that area of weakness. And he's going to punch you to get you to fall. And then once he gets you to fall, he's going to mess with your head about your identity. I told you wouldn't. This. But he's going to punch you in your area of weakness. He punches us. See, I know my areas of weakness. And I know when he starts to tempt me. This is how he do me. I don't know how he does you. When I'm in a weak place, it's like my mind is going through rapid succession of my weakness. Just over and over and over. That's the beat down. That's the beat down. That's the way he tries to beat me down. Just over and over and over. Almost before I can realize what's going on, just over and over and over. That's my beat down. That's how he's going to get me to do what he desires me to do. But I've learned to do what Jesus did. Get away from me. Get thee behind me. What does that mean? That means I ain't going to let you leave me. If you're going to be anywhere around me, you got to be behind me. Amen. But if you allow the beat down to happen, guess where you're going to find yourself? Giving in to your weakness. Giving in to your weakness. You heard the term spiritual warfare? I like the terminology mental warfare. Because that's where he works on us right here. Rapid success. Rapid success. Over and over and over. It was, and a lot of times when I'm preparing for a teaching, preparing for something that God wants me to say to you all, he allows the thing to happen. One morning I thought I was going to go crazy. Rapid success, my weakness, rapid success. One thought after another, one thought after another, one thought after another, one thought after another. And I finally said, get people happy. Sometimes I start dealing with the flesh first, down flesh. And if I don't get any peace there, I know it's safe. And then I operate in the authority that God has given me. Get behind me. Somebody say, get behind me. And if you're scared to tell him to get behind you, guess what? He's going to continue to try to lead you. And some of you all are asking the question, why do I keep giving in to this? It might be because you don't practice the authority that you have. To not give in. Am I talking to the right house? Get behind me. Pastor, I'm going to cuss now. Shut the hell up. leave me alone. You never got that frustrated until you say, I have. Leave me alone. Get behind me. So we need to learn what, how to submit to God and resist the devil. Two, we need to learn how to get him off of us when he's tempting us to sin. Somebody say amen. And he's going to always hit us in our vulnerable place. Do you know your weaknesses? I know mine. And I'm going to help you. Sometimes you feed your weakness and help Satan to become stronger against you. Because if he don't see what you're doing, his imp that he got watching you sees what he's feeding it. He's feeding it. Come on, we can get him now. He's feeding it. He's feeding it. Come on, we can get him now. He's feeding it. We can win this one. Come on. He's feeding it. Come on. Come on. He's feeding it. He's making it stronger. We can get him now. But get thee behind me, still works. We need to learn to submit to God, resist the devil. We need to learn that he's going to hit us in our vulnerable places. We need to learn to do what Jesus did, get thee behind. Somebody say amen. And thoroughly, as it relates to, glory to God, the wilderness experience, the devil tried to, I believe, make Jesus doubt his identity. Go to Matthew chapter, my time is almost up. Matthew chapter 3, verse number 17. You remember Jesus got baptized? You remember who, do you know who was at the baptism? Somebody said people. The devil was there too. Y'all might not have known that, but he was there too. And God showed up. In verse number 17, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is what? And whom what? God made a declaration concerning his son. He says, this is my beloved son. Have you ever read The Temptation? The Wilderness Experience? Did you hear Satan say, if you be the son of God? If you be the son of God. He was trying to get him to at least doubt his identity. Or he was trying to get him to do some supernatural stuff to prove that he was a son. Somebody say amen. Because he heard God said, this is my boy. Can I help you today? Satan's going to always tip your identity in Christ. He's going to always try to get you to believe that you're not what God. See, you're not what God says that you are. Some of us get defeated because we don't believe we're victorious. Some of us get conquered because we don't believe we're more than conquerors. Some of us don't do nothing because we don't believe we can do all things. We believe the report of the enemy and not the report of the Lord. Now, some of y'all think some of us cocky because we believe what God says. Somebody say amen. But we're not cocky, but we're confident. Somebody say amen. That we are who God says that we are. We can do what he says we can do. That's why some of us are always trying to practice. So he's going to try to shake you up as it relates to your identity. If God said you heal, you heal. God said you deliver, you deliver. So he's going to try to shake all that. And it's really not you that he's after. He's trying to make God look bad. And we oftentimes help him make God look bad. Well, there's some things we can learn from the temptation. One, we need to learn to submit to God like Jesus did, resist the devil. We need to learn. Somebody said need to learn how Satan, when Satan comes after us, he comes after us in our weaknesses. And three, I need to close because my time is up. He's going to always try to question your identity. That's why Paul said put on the whole armor. You can't leave any pieces out because you need every piece to protect yourself from the wiles of the enemy. Am I talking to the right house? Well, I guess I've said enough today because I'm sweating. Somebody say amen. I'll finish this up next week, hopefully. Something has been said to help us. Help us as we walk out our kingdom responsibility in the earth realm. Somebody say amen. Let us pray. Father God, we honor you so much for your word. Lord, it's a lot sometimes. It's liberating. It sets us free. Jesus says, we shall know truth, and truth will make us free. So, Father God, we honor you. Father God, we honor you for the truth that we've received in this place today. We thank you that we're digesting it. Father God, we thank you that we're going to be doers in the area of the word that's been proclaimed to us today, that's been taught to us today, that we can be doers in. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who believe that prayer said, amen. All heads bowed, all eyes closed as we give somebody an invitation to receive Jesus Christ today. If you're viewing us, or even if you're in the house, and you know without shadow of a doubt that you need Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, this is what we will ask you to do. We ask you to follow us in this prayer, inviting Jesus into your heart. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And after you've invited him into your heart, believe by faith that he's come in. And then we're going to help you as you start your walk with the Lord by sending you some things that's going to help you as you begin your walk with him. Somebody say amen. Can we pray together, Lord Jesus? We ask the church to pray so that the church can support the person who's praying for the first time and encourage them at the same time. Somebody say amen. Pray with me, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, save me. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. Lord Jesus, be my Lord. I tell the Lord, thank you, Lord, for coming into my heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for forgiving me of my sins. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being my Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, there's a number that's going to be on the screen. In just a few minutes, you call that number, leave us a message, let us know that you've prayed, you've received Jesus Christ. And again, at no cost to you, we're going to send you out some information that's going to help you as you begin your walk with the Lord. Somebody say amen. And even if you're in the house, you pray, you receive for the first time, you can do the same thing. You can call that number. And we're going to do the same thing for you that we would do for anybody who's viewing us. Somebody say amen. Come on, let's bless God for salvation. Amen. Woo! It's offering time. There are some avenues on the screen by which you can choose to give to this ministry, whether you're viewing us by way of any social media outlet or you're in the house. I have a couple of them that I use, and I love them. Somebody say amen. If you've already given this week because you got paid before today, somebody say amen. Come on, let's bless God for your giving. Amen. 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 If you're in the house and you want to give by way of the receptacle, us is on the floor right now. They're moving. Raise your hand. Raise your offering. Raise your tithe. And they will come and receive it. Amen. While they're receiving the tithes and offerings, excuse me. Let me remind you that each Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m., we have Bible study. Somebody say Bible study. We do Bible study by way of Zoom and Facebook Live. The information is on the screen. All you have to do is take down the information, and we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night at 6:45 p.m. Somebody say amen. Get that million-dollar seed over there, boy. Amen. Somebody say amen. He dipped up his hands. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Glory to God. All hearts satisfied in giving. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for every giver. We thank you for every gift that's been sown into this portion of your vineyard or of this portion of your kingdom, Father God. Glory to God. And we pray that in due season that you will return to the giver according to the gift. Glory to God. Father God, we lift the collective tithe and offering up to you. First, we ask that you bless it. And secondly, we ask that you would do with it like you did the two fish and the five loaves of bread. Multiply it. So there will be great resources in this house to meet every need with abundant leftovers. Father God, we honor you. We trust you. We give you praise for all things. In Jesus' name we do pray. And all who agree with that prayer said, come on, let's bless God. Come on, let's bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, I do thank y'all for coming, but don't y'all come no more and make me nervous. Somebody say amen. Make me nervous no more. I heard myself stuttering up there like a little child. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. But we bless God that we were able to share it, man. At this time, our Birmingham Metro District Overseer, he's going to come. He's going to share some things with us. Pastor, will you come at this time? You preach too. Come on up here so they can see you on the screen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise for that awesome word. If you were blessed by the word, come on, thank God for the word. Hallelujah. We honor the Lord for Pastor Huggins. Come on, let's give God some praise for this great man of God. Hallelujah. His wife, come on, let's give God some praise for her. Hallelujah. To all of you who represent the fivefold ministry, to the awesome, awesome worship ministry, to the singers and to the worship leader, God bless you. I was so blessed by you all and the worship that went forth. Anybody who knows me, I actually was a worship leader for about 25 years before I actually started pastoring. I have a passion for it. And when I tell you, I walked into the presence of the Lord, and I just thank God for the atmosphere that has been set in this house. I am grateful to the Lord for each and every one of you. Thank you all so much for having us. I am Pastor Jones, Overseer Contrell Jones. I actually pastor in Oxford, Alabama, at Sweet Rock Full Gospel Baptist Church, although I live in Atlanta, Georgia, so I do a little bit of traveling during the week. but so grateful to be here. And we have Pastor Adrian Natu sharing with us today. Come on, let's give God some praise for him. I want you to know that you don't know how blessed you are to have such a great man of God. Let me tell you, this man of God, I'm not just saying that. I talk about him behind his back and I talk about him in front of his face. He is a great man of God, and I thoroughly enjoyed the word. One thing I knew I was going to get when I came, I knew I was going to get the word. I knew I was going to not just get the word, but I was going to get the word in a way that we'd be able to apply it. I've been teaching all year long at our church, been teaching us how to live a victorious life in Christ. And the way to do that is that you have to be able to apply it on Monday. See, a lot of us get excited on Sunday, but we can't walk it out on Monday. And so I'm just glad that, you know, God is really just using you for such a time as this. We did not come for anything but just to support. That's the type of man that I am. I just wanted to come and share with my friend and my brother. Hey, we both nervous. I got my notes here because I got to make sure I don't miss nothing because, you know, I want to make sure I acknowledge everybody. But this, I want to come and share with my brother and just let him know how much we love and appreciate him. And although I was born and raised in Chicago, my mom and my dad are from Mississippi, so they raised me right. So you don't come to somebody's house empty-handed. Come on, somebody. You don't go. Back in the day, you bring a pot of collard greens or some cornbread or some pinto beans. Y'all don't know nothing about that. Y'all don't know nothing about. But you come, you don't come empty-handed. So we didn't come for it with anything but just to support. And the Birmingham Metro District gave in the offering. We gave $100 in the offering just to support this ministry. Why did we do that? We do that because we believe in the ministry of your pastor and the ministry of this church. Now, if you know that God is moving in this house, come on, give God some praise. Hallelujah. And so we are grateful to be. We do believe that this ministry is good ground. That's why I'm here. That's why I came. I came all the way from Atlanta because I believe that this man is good ground and that this ministry is good ground. And I believe that the Lord is going to continue to do great things. He shared a bit of the testimony of this awesome ministry, and we are glad for it. Do want to just make a quick announcement because I do represent the Full Gospel Baptist Church Fellowship that our Live Full Conference is in New Orleans this year, July 9th through the 11th. And I'm asking you to come and share as we have several classes that will be a blessing to you and that you can come and hear good preaching and good singing. We'd love to have you to share with us, you and the team to share with us on our worship team. You guys did such a great job today. It was such a blessing to me. And we just want to make sure that we advance the kingdom of God. Thank you again for having us. God bless you and have a great week.
Well, let's bless God again for Overseer Contrail Jones. Amen. During the Live Full Conference, our state bishop, Bishop Jonathan Woods, he's gonna open up the conference. He's gonna be the first preacher that's gonna preach that for the conference. So you're gonna meet Bishop Woods at some point soon. I think he's gonna be traveling around some too, like our overseer is. So. Look for him to dot in the door at some point as well. You'd think I was nervous today. but anyway, of course, our presiding bishop is Bishop Joseph Walker III, the founder is Bishop Paul Boyd. And they always teach us to establish protocols. So I should have done it before he even came up, but I didn't. So, but anyway, we're learning. Somebody said learning. And we're going to do better. Somebody say amen. Well, that's all we got for today. Can we stand together? Amen. Y'all might not know this, but Minerva retired. I hope I look that good when I retire. You'll look a day over. Well, anyway, amen. Amen. So we celebrate God for her retirement. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. 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 We pray that you would enjoy your retirement, that you will continue to just grow younger as you enjoy it in Jesus' name. All hearts composed, the love of God, the grace of God, the sweet communion of His Holy Spirit, rest with us now here. now and forevermore. Glory to God. The Lord bless you. And all that you do, the Lord bless you. And you're going out and you're coming in, both now and forevermore. The Lord prosper you in all that you do. The Lord give you peace. He make his peace to shine upon you. Glory to God. And as we go throughout the remainder of our week, we admonish you to practice safety and what? In Jesus' name. Love you all. Have a blessed week.